Paul says the goal, the plan, the strategy of sanctification is that we might become blameless. The stimulus is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
When Paul comes to summarize his thoughts at the conclusion of this great epistle, 1 Thessalonians, a tremendous letter from the apostle, as he comes to summarize his thoughts, what should he say? He's dealt with some very powerful themes, the theme of soteriology or salvation in chapter 1, and with the theme of ecclesiology or the nature of the Christian ministry in particular in chapter 2. And he's dealt with the theme of eschatology, as the theologians call it, of the study of the last things. Eschate means last or end. And eschatology is the study of the last things, or the prophetic themes of the Word of God. And he unfolds a number of insights relating to eschatology in the fourth and fifth chapters of this great letter. And then he's made his practical application, particularly in the fifth chapter in verses 12 to 22. There's a whole host of practical applications. But what really is Paul's burden? He's burdened to see, in a word, Paul is burdened to see the Thessalonian Christians become morally ripened in order that they might become spiritually empowered. He wants them to become morally ripened, and so he uses this term sanctify and this theme, sanctification, in verses 23 and 24. He wants to see them become morally ripened. That's what sanctification is. We don't have to worry about that term or be frightened away by it or think it carries with it some weird and mystical connotation. It means, in a non-technical, but I think a very biblical sense, to be morally ripened. He wants them to become morally ripened. They're green, so to speak. They're young in their Christian faith, and he wants them to become morally ripened in order that they might be spiritually empowered. And if somehow they could latch onto that message and allow God to do his morally ripening work in their lives, all of the implications of what Paul has said in this letter would be fulfilled. That's why I say these verses represent a distillation of the entirety of the epistle, a concentration of his burden and concern for those Thessalonian Christians. And every one of us ought to share Paul's burden, that like the Thessalonians, we should become morally ripened in order that we might be spiritually empowered. Paul shares with us three insights in verses 23 and 24. The first thing I see here is Paul's burden expressed. And he states it there in the first part of verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely or wholly. That's Paul's burden expressed. That's a concentration of all that he wants to say in this letter. Then I see his burden expanded. He says, just so you understand exactly what I mean by this, he says, I want to expand it. So he says, "And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto or in the circumstances of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," the latter part of verse 23. So first his burden is expressed, and then it's expanded. And then finally, it's fully expected. His burden is fully expected. He expects it will be fulfilled based on verse 24. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." We have a faithful God. Now together, let's look at this in outline form. First, his burden expressed, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly." The substance and the source of that burden are given in that expression, as far as I'm concerned. The substance is, "Sanctify you wholly." The source is, "The very God of peace." Now that was his burden expressed. His burden is expanded in the heart of verse 23, where he says, "And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You notice the scope of sanctification? Your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. That's the scope of sanctification. Your whole spirit, soul, and body. The Christian salvation is holistic. It's complete. It touches and it transforms the entire man, his whole spirit, soul, and body. I think there's a revelational purpose just in the order of those terms. Just the very order, the three aspects of our anatomy, spirit, soul, and body, are arranged in the order of their merit, the highest coming first. Spirit first, and then soul, and then body. It's hard to make airtight compartments for each of these facets of our anatomy, and there's a great deal of room for discussion and debate on the issue. But in a very simple sense, I would suggest that the spirit makes us relatable to God, and it speaks to us of our immortality. We're immortal beings because we're made in the image of God. We have a spirit. The spirit makes us relatable to God. The soul makes us relatable to man. I believe it speaks of our personality. And the body makes us relatable to the globe upon which we walk and speaks to us of our physiology. We are spiritual creatures. We are psychological creatures, and we are physical creatures. And that's the meaning of spirit, soul, and body. And God intends to superintend every facet of our anatomy, our spiritual, our psychological, and our physical drives. They're powerful entities, and God wants to superintend every facet of our anatomy. You know, modern man has a way of reversing these. You know, God speaks of it in this way, spirit, soul, and body. Modern man speaks of it in this way, body, soul, and spirit. We have a tend to reverse this order. And we put the accent in our culture on the physical first, and the spiritual last, if at all. God says, whenever you do that, the result will only be tension and frustration and emptiness in your life. And when you've done that, the only remedy will be found, the only remedy that can be found is that which is found first in the initial act of regeneration. We must be born again. And then in the continuing process of sanctification. And as we grow and mature in the Lord Jesus Christ, the spiritual facet of our anatomy becomes what God intended. And then the psychological and the physical, they take their place. And the result of that is inward harmony and peace. The scope of sanctification, your whole spirit, soul, and body. God wants to touch our lives in every facet of our anatomy. His salvation is a holistic salvation. It not only touches the immaterial part of man, but the material part of man, and he gives us the power to become Christ-like in every one of those areas of our life. And those drives, which are so perverted, our physical, psychological, and spiritual drives, which are so perverted apart from Jesus Christ, can become sanctified and holy as we become Christians and as we yield ourselves to his control. You notice the strategy of sanctification? Your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Be preserved blameless. God's plan is to make us blameless. That's the strategy. That's the plan, the goal of sanctification. And that word describes the kind of purity that has left nothing out, the kind of purity which is plainly visible to anyone who is willing to take a look at what we have, what we are, through the Lord Jesus Christ. It means the kind of purity at which no accusatory finger can be pointed. I wonder if we would be honest enough with ourselves to take an inventory and say, what are the things in my life that the finger of accusation can be pointed at? Paul says the goal, the plan, the strategy of sanctification is that we might become blameless. Do you notice the stimulus to sanctification? The latter part of that verse, the stimulus is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The parousia is the Greek word. We even use it in the English language now. It's come right into the English language, and it's a reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that word coming was used in the ancient world of the invasion of a country by a powerful general and his army. And it was used in the ancient world of the visit of a king or a governor to a province of his empire. So the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the final invasion of earth by the greatest general of eternity, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And it is the coming of the king to receive the final submission and adoration, which he deserves, from his subjects. The prospect of standing before Jesus Christ at the time of his coming is a significant motivational factor in each of our lives. At least it ought to be. It is a powerful stimulus to morally ripen and become spiritually empowered to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you notice Paul's burden? I'll just give you the outline as I close this message now. Do you notice Paul's burden expected in verse 24? Paul fully expected that this concern for the Thessalonians would be realized. And it's based on three things. That expectation is based on three things. One, the character of God. He's faithful. God is dependable. God is reliable. And there are a whole host of Christians who I'm sure would be glad to spontaneously rise to their feet and tell us how dependable and reliable God is. What a tremendous thing, the reliability of God. And that's what that word faithful means. He is reliable. He is dependable. He is loyal. He's the kind of individual whose word we can unreservedly accept. That virtue of faithfulness means unswerving and inflexible fidelity and dependability. That's the kind of God we serve. He's dependable. Paul says, I'm confident. I expect this will be fulfilled in your life because of the character of God. Not only the character of God, but the calling of God. Do you notice? Faithful is he that calleth you. You know, every spiritual biography begins with a summons from God. Every one of us who is a Christian heard in one way or another, primarily through the preaching of the Word of God, the voice of God. And we were summoned. And of course, it was our responsibility to respond in faith. We respond to that summons. It begins with the call of God. And you know something? What God begins, he intends to finish. So Paul says, you're the called of God. And I expect that what God has begun, he will finish. So he goes a step further. Not only the character of God and the calling of God, but the constancy of God. Do you notice what he says? Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. In fact, do you notice in your King James Version, it is italicized. It's not in the Greek. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do. He uses that verb in the absolute sense. Paul says God's not only the caller, he's the doer. He summons us to salvation and he finishes the job. You can expect that he's never going to leave you. He's always going to sustain you. He's going to minister to you inwardly through his Spirit and through his Word. He's going to give you the energy, the power, and the dynamic to become all that God intended for you to be. He will do it. He uses it there in the absolute sense, the emphasis on doing. God will bring to pass what he has begun. The character and the calling and the constancy of God all reinforce Paul's very positive expectations. The Thessalonians can draw upon the resources of the most dependable personality in the universe. God himself will meet your needs. He's a faithful God. He'll meet our needs as well. Now, there's much more to be said. I've run out of time here. Do you see the burden of the Apostle Paul? Paul's burden is expressed. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Do you see how it's expanded? Your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see how it was expected? Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So God issues us a summons. He calls us to himself. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. He gives us a summons. I want to ask you, have you responded to that summons? He invites you to himself to experience his mighty salvation. Have you by faith responded and received his Son? Many of us have heard that summons, and many of us have responded. But I want to ask this question of the Christians. And my question is this. We've experienced God's salvation. Have we moved on to sanctification? Is our Christianity in the workaday world, in our neighborhood, and within our marriage and family, is our Christianity an identifiable thing? Or have we kept our Christian faith covered over? Do we have that essential difference? Christians, these are questions for you and me. Do we have that essential difference in values and in behavior, which is nothing other than Christ-likeness? Or have we rendered ourselves spiritually impotent and powerless by embracing the world's values and behavior? Paul's great burden, his concentrated burden, is that the Thessalonians would never do that. And that's his burden for you and me as well.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Biblically speaking, love is concrete. It gives. It is a concrete act that is to be fleshed out in our daily lives. Love is concrete. It gives. It does more than talk.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively. helping you to live an authentic Christian life.